Today's gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 1 and 7 to 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My mother was born 100 years ago this coming December. She was raised in Washington, D.C. society. She went to, did anybody here go to Holton Arms Academy on River Road in Bethesda? No. Anyway, she went there, and at the time when she was in high school, it was also called a finishing school. Anybody heard that term? Yeah. And she learned how to do things the proper way, how to be able to act and live and do dinner parties the proper way. She was the consummate host. All throughout my time growing up, I remember that no matter where we lived, one of the things that she did with great joy was to provide sumptuous dinner parties for friends and my dad's associates. She would plan the menu down to the last thing. The tables were all, now she always invited more than we could hold at our dining room table. So she would set up card tables in the living room. And she would set these up with beautiful decorations. And the one thing I remember was every place had a nameplate. She had these little beautiful nameplate holders that had flowers on the ends of them, and she would hand write the name of each person, and she would determine where everybody sat. And she'd put these down, and she'd think long and hard about where people should be. And remember, the card tables aren't the kids' tables. Remember the kids' tables? Yeah, okay. Not that. They were for adults who had been invited as well. So my job growing up was to be the server. I was the one who went around with hors d'oeuvres or stuff, you know, and would hand those out to people, and everyone is saying, "Oh, isn't that cute?" You know, and I just wanted to go in the kitchen and hurl. But it was one of those things where, you know, I was the one who was the server, and then I would eat in the kitchen while the adults ate out in the other rooms. But ever since I was a child, I found something about all this odd. And here's what I was thinking. How did my mom determine who sat in the places of honor and who sat at the card tables in the living room? Right? Think about that. How did she make that determination? I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about how the people felt who had to sit at the card tables in the living room. I really didn't. But I was wondering, how does she do that? How does she know where to place people? It was something that really impacted me. And then as I was encountering today's scripture from Luke, I had reason to recall it again. And I had reason to question, how is it that we know where to place people in order of importance when each one of them should hold equal importance in our lives? I started to do some studying, as is the way I usually delve into sermon preparation. And I found five sources that described Roman meals. Meals where guests of differing social rank were seated in a pecking order. And as a matter of fact, different rooms were used based upon different social strata. And different food and wine was served in each of those rooms. So there wasn't a common menu. Everyone was not treated equally. 20th century theologian C.S. Lewis remarked in his work, Mere Christianity, that the one sin no one will admit to is pride. He says, and I quote, "There is one vice of which no man in the world is free, which everyone in the world loathes when he sees it in someone else, and of which hardly any people except Christians ever imagine that they are guilty of themselves. There is no fault which makes a man more unpopular, and no fault which we are more unconscious of in ourselves. And the more we have it ourselves, the more we dislike it in others." Unquote. Jesus is talking about something today that we don't speak about often. He's talking about pride and its sister, arrogance. Both of these are often hidden sins. But like everything else, we need to be clear about our definitions. Pride is deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. It's the quality of having an excessively high opinion of one's importance. And pride's sister arrogance is possessing an exaggerated sense of one's own importance. How many times have you gone into a meeting or even maybe a gathering and you see people jockeying for position? Where they sit, who's going to be sitting near the head of the table, who's going to be sitting near the most important person, who's going to be in the best position to influence or be seen as powerful. Ever experienced that? Well, coming through most of my adult life, I experienced it all the time. And yet I never really took time to think about all of that in relationship to this reading from Luke today. Luke's gospel, which we've been traveling through together as a church, begins with this theme of elevating not ourselves, but of the marginalized and the oppressed. It is focused on the opposite of pride and arrogance, a deep sense of humility. And humility is defined as a modest or a low view of one's own importance. We're reminded in the first chapter of Luke, when Elizabeth, who is a childless married woman, conceives, she declares that God took away her social shame of being barren and blessed her. Mary, who was, as we know, a young, unmarried virgin, conceives by the Holy Spirit. But like other women, her baby will grow in her womb for 9 months, making her the object of social derision. But Mary, her song, which many call the Magnificat, tells the story of the reversal of status. God looks favorably on the humility of God's blessed one, Mary, who is to bear Jesus. I don't think many who were deriding her in her society stopped to think about the future blessings that generations would have through her child. They were just looking at her as someone who was unwed and pregnant, a teenager. Luke continues to emphasize that God, who dwells in the highest heavens, exalts the poor, the lowly, and the marginalized, as does Jesus as the Son and the Prophet of the Most High. If the Most High God and His Son visit, commune with, and uplift the lowliest in society, surely the Pharisees who were hosting that party, and Jesus' disciples as well, should do the same. We just sang a song entitled, "Blessed Are You." Nowhere in there did I hear, "You are blessed by your wealth." Nowhere in there did I hear, "You are blessed by your importance or your position." And yet, oftentimes, in our days, in our world, when we enjoy wealth or we enjoy position, we often say, "Well, we're blessed by that." I'd caution us, because what's on the other side of that coin is the inference that those who are not wealthy, those who are not important, those who don't have position, are not blessed by God. Do you see that? There's two sides. And we need to redefine how we say this. There's growing conversation and attention within our society about the word privilege. And I want to talk about that today, not in a way that's going to cause division or conflict, but in a way to where we look at the terms that we use. Some find attention on this word privilege as a welcome thing. Others find discussions around privilege as unnecessary and uncomfortable. And still others are unaware of this shifting dialogue within our society. Sometimes we confuse wealth and position and importance with being blessings of God. Many born in developing countries are born into privilege relative to others born in developing regions ravaged by political crisis, famine, or war. When I think about the fact that I was born in this nation, I think of it as being privileged. I am privileged to be part of this nation. But I have had my statements, which I used earlier in my life, that I am blessed by that, challenged. And I want to share a story with you. This is about 15 years ago. I was on a mission trip to Nicaragua. And we were far, far out in the campo, up north near the Honduras border. I was staying with a community that had no electricity. They had no water. We went to the river to get water to bathe. And they had just started digging latrines. And I was fortunate to be staying with the school teacher in that town who had a third grade education, and I was staying in their grain shed. And in that grain shed, funny note, I just thought of this. The grain shed was kind of fenced off, but that was the place where the pigs slept too. So they moved the pig out while I was there and tied the pig up in the back of the shed area. And every morning about 4 o'clock, that pig would start bumping against the shed and, you know, that was my wake-up pig every morning. Well, I got up about the third day that I was there, and I went out. And normally for breakfast, we would have an oatmeal. They mix oatmeal and water and sugar together, and it was cold. It was not a hot dish, but boy, was that good. And it was nutritious. But this morning when I woke up and I came out of the shed and into the common area of this small home, the smell of an egg hit me. And I looked down, and she had prepared water and this oatmeal drink, and on this plate was one egg. And she motioned me to sit down, and I thanked her. And then I looked around, and their little six-year-old son, Tinolito, was there. And he was just eyeing that egg. And I had I do speak Spanish, but I don't trust it. I really don't. So I had another person who was a translator with me. So I asked the person, I said, have they already eaten breakfast? Why is there only one egg? And she looked at me and she said, they only have one hen, and the hen only laid one egg, and they want you to have it. And that day I learned what it meant to be blessed. And it came from someone who had absolutely nothing. And so I drank the oatmeal and I drank my water, and they had nice, hot, strong coffee, and I had a cup of that. And I played with the egg and I said, you know, I'm just full. You have fed me so well. I just can't eat this, but I don't want it to go to waste. Is there something else we could do with this? And so Tina Lito was looking at it, you know, and I said, would you like this? And he came flying over and just scarfed down that egg. And he blessed me. And he blessed me. We need to be careful when we talk about privilege and blessing. We need to understand the difference between the two. We need to acknowledge when we have the ability to go to the store and buy a dozen eggs anytime we want, 24 hours a day. But don't say we're blessed. We're privileged to be able to do that. And don't just assume because people don't have what we have, that people aren't living in wealth or aren't able to influence others or have position. Don't assume that they aren't blessed. Understand that God's blessings come in other ways. And this is the lesson that Jesus is trying to show the Pharisees that day when he himself was a guest at that table. Oftentimes, our places of pride, our places of arrogance, aren't visible to us. They are hidden from us. But here's a truth, we all have them. We may think that we are living humble lives, but we all have pride points. Points where we think we are more important than we are. Hopefully they don't go to arrogance, which is the exaggerated sense of that importance. But yet we have them. And when we encounter them, Christ is challenging us not to seek the place of honor, but to take a lowly place. so that God may then, in God's fullness of time, invite us into his place of honor, the place next to him. You know, I've thought for many decades that my mom could have done that differently with the place cards, you know. But in her last decade of life, I think I mentioned she died at 93, she continued to have her parties, but she changed the format of them. She went from having sit-downs to having open houses. What she would do, it was not like the come between noon and 5 p.m. She wanted people there at the same time so that they could share in fellowship with each other. So she had, please come, for example, at 3 p.m. And she would prepare a sumptuous feast for them. And it would be set up on her sideboard, and everything would be there, and she would greet them and show them where to go. But everyone had access to the same food in the same room so that they could feel that they were equal as guests in her house. So she got it. She did. She got it. And I didn't see it for many years. But she understood that what was most important was for people to be together and to feel welcomed at that table. Not that they were sitting where they should be sitting. That's not what it's about. And this morning, we will, in a few minutes, have the opportunity to come together here as well. We will be invited to a sumptuous meal that is prepared for us by no less than Jesus the Christ. And we need to remember that all are welcome at his table. All are welcome at his table. We are all fed the same food. It's not like we're in a different room and we get a little bit less of Christ. Because we are equally important in Christ's eyes. And as we approach this table this morning and partake in communion, I invite you to reflect that the only privilege we really possess is that of being a child, a beloved child of the Most High God. Amen. Amen.